ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो 11th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 34। लॉर्ड कृष्णस एंट्रेंस इनटू द्वारका। एवं नृपानां क्षिति भीरा जन्मनां अक्षौहिणी भी परिवृत्या तेजसाम विधाया वैरं स्वासनो जथानलं मिथो बधेनो परतो बधेनो परतो निरायुधः। एवं नृपाणां क्षितिभार जन्मनां अक्षौहिणीभिः परिवृत्त तेजसां विधाय वैरं श्वसनो जथानलम् मिथोबधेन परतो निरायुधः। एवं नृपाणां क्षितिभार जन्मनां अक्षौहिणीभिः परिवृत्त तेजसाम् विधाय वैरं श्वसनो जथानलम् मिथो वधेनो परतो निरायुधः। एवं नृपाणां क्षितिभार जन्मनां अक्षौहिणीभिः परिवृत्त तेजसाम् विधाय वैरं श्वसनो जथानलम् मिथो वधेनो परतो निरायुधः। एवं दास Nripanam, by the kings or administrators, Kshitibhara, the burden of the earth, Janmanam, born in that way, Akshohinibhi, empowered by a military strength of horses, elephants, chariots, and infantry, paribritta, being puffed up by such surroundings, tejasam, prowess, vidhaya, having created, vairam, hostility, shwasana, interaction of the wind and the pipe plants, Jatha, as it is, Analam, fire, Mitha, with one another, Badhena, by killing them, Uparataha, relieved, Nirayudhaha, by himself, without being a party to such fighting. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Lord was pacified after killing those kings who were burdensome to the earth. They are puffed up with their military strength, their horses, elephants, chariots, infantry, etc. He himself was not a party in the fight. He simply created hostility between the powerful administrators, and they fought among themselves. He was like the wind which causes friction between bamboos, and so sparks a fire. Please repeat after me. The Lord was pacified after killing those kings who were burdensome to the earth. They were puffed up with their military strength. Their horses, elephants, chariots, infantry, etc. He himself was not a party in the fight. He simply created hostility between the powerful administrators, and they fought among themselves. He was like the wind which causes friction between bamboos, and so sparks a fire. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated above, the living beings are not factual enjoyers of things which are manifested as God's creation. The Lord is the genuine proprietor and enjoyer of everything manifested in his creation. Unfortunately, influenced by the deluding energy, the living being becomes a false enjoyer under the dictation of the modes of nature. Puffed up by such a false sense of becoming God, the deluded living being increases his material strength by so many activities and thus becomes the burden of the earth, so much so that the earth becomes completely uninhabitable by the sane. This state of affairs is called dharmasya glani, or misuse of the energy of the human being. When such misuse of human energy is prominent, the saner living beings become perturbed by the awkward situation created by the vicious administrators who are simply burdens of the earth, and the Lord appears by his internal potency just to save the saner section of humanity and to alleviate the burden due to the earthly administrators in different parts of the world. He does not favor either of the unwanted administrators, but by his potential power, he creates hostility between such unwanted administrators, as the air creates fire in the forest by the friction of the bamboos. The fire in the forest takes place automatically by the force of the air, and similarly the hostility between different groups of politicians takes place by the unseen design of the Lord. The unwanted administrators puffed up by false power of military strength thus become engaged in fighting amongst themselves over ideological conflicts and so exhaust themselves of all powers. The history of the world reflects in this factual will of the Lord, and it will continue to be enacted until the living beings are attached to the service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, this fact is very vividly described. It is said, "The deluding energy is my potency," and thus it is not possible for the dependent living beings to supersede the strength of the material modes. But those who take shelter of me, the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, can cross over the gigantic ocean of material energy. This means that no one can establish peace and prosperity in the world by fruitive activities or by his speculative philosophy or ideology. The only way is to surrender unto the Supreme Lord and thus become free from the illusion of the deluding energy. Unfortunately, persons who are engaged in destructive work are unable to surrender to the personality of Godhead. They are all fools of the first order. They are the lowest of human species of life. They are robbed of their knowledge, although apparently they seem to be academically educated. They are all of the demoniac mentality, always challenging the supreme power of the Lord. Those who are very materialistic, always hankering after material power and strength, are undoubtedly fools of the first order because they have no information of the living energy. And being ignorant of the supreme spiritual science, they are absorbed in material science, which ends with the end of the material body. They are the lowest of human beings because the human life is specially meant for re-establishing the lost relationship with the Lord. And they miss this opportunity by being engaged in material activities. They are robbed of their knowledge because even after prolonged speculation, they cannot reach to the stage of knowing the personality of Godhead, the summum bonum of everything. And all of them are men of demoniac principle, and they suffer the consequences, as did such materialistic heroes as Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, and others. Evam nripanam kshitibhara janmanam akshauhini bhi paribritta tejasam vidhaya vairang shasano jathanalam mitho badhena paroto nirayudhah. The Lord was specified after killing those kings who were burdensome to the earth. They are puffed up with their military strength, their horses, elephants, chariots, infantry, etc. He himself was not a party in the fight. He simply created hostility between the powerful administrators, and they fought among themselves. He was like the wind which causes friction between bamboos and so sparks a fire. So, at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see the description how the earth planet was burdened by the tyrannical rulers who became powerful with their military strength. They were causing an incredible burden to Mother Earth. Mother Earth was tormented. So Mother Earth, then Bhudevi or Vasundhara, she has, actually Earth is a person. She is the mother, she is our mother, she is a woman. And she has many names, like Vasundhara, Dharuni, Bhu, etc. Like Bashoti Dashana Shikhare, Dharani Tava Lagna. The Dharani, Earth planet, Mother Earth, was situated on the tusk of Varahadev. Dashana Shikhare. Dashan means tooth or tusk. The boars have a tusk. And Lord, in the form of a boar, Varahadev, rescued Mother Earth from the lower region where she fell. So there she has been described as Dharani. So this Mother Earth, or Dharani, or Vasundhara, approached Lord Brahma along with the demigods, devas of the heavenly planet. And she told Brahma about her situation. Brahma is the administrator of the universe, so Mother Earth is subordinate to Brahma. Brahma is the supreme, secondary supreme controller in the universe. He takes care of all the affairs of the universe. So Brahma, she told Brahma about her situation, the difficulties that she was facing due to this tyrannical, atheistic kings who became powerful with the military strength. And it became too burdensome. Mother Earth actually feels the burden when these sinful people become actively involved in ruling over this earth planet. So Lord Brahma also saw that he cannot really rectify the situation. Actually, it is not that Lord Brahma could not, but the thing is that Lord Brahma did not, for two reasons. One is the material nature maintains an order, a rule. There is a law of nature. And the law-abiding individuals do not break the law. Like even a high court judge, although he punishes the people, those who break the law, but he himself cannot break the law. Like somebody drives on the wrong side of the road and he is taken to the judge and the judge punishes him, right? Fines him. But the judge himself cannot drive on the wrong side of the road. He also abides by, although he's the judge and he's establishing the law in order, but he himself cannot break the law. So Brahma saw that these persons were actually very powerful with their karmic reactions. What is the karmic reaction? Austerity and penances creates the good fortune for these individuals. So these individuals, these kings and rulers, those who are actually demons, they were very powerful individuals with the materialistic karmic reaction. So Lord Brahma saw that he cannot really rectify that himself. So therefore Lord Brahma said, look, let's go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Vishnu. So, in this universe, there is a region which is called Swetadeep. And the Lord, as Kshirodakshai Vishnu, resides in that Swetadeep, which is in the a white island. Sweta means white, deep means island. It's a white island in the middle of the Kshir Sagar, the milk ocean. In the middle of the milk ocean, there is a white island, Swetadeep, and the Lord resides there, the Kshirodakshai Vishnu. Kshirodak means, Kshira means milk, and Udak means ocean. So milk ocean, he lies in the milk ocean. So Brahma went to the shore of the milk ocean and offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My Lord, look, this is the situation and all these demigods along with Dharani Devi have come. So please do something to rectify the situation. So then Lord responded to Brahma's prayers. Brahma's prayer was actually the Purusha Sukta. Purusha Sukta actually describes that how one should submit to the Lord and depend upon the Lord's mercy, and the Lord will protect. That is the prayer. My Lord, you have given the assurance that you are going to protect us at the time of difficulty. So please give us the protection. Rectify this situation of this earth planet. Then at that time, the Lord responded without appearing in front of even Brahma. He didn't come in front of Brahma. He responded by saying that, don't worry, I will come. I'll come to the earth planet and tell these demigods to take birth in the Yadu family. Yadu and Vrishni family, in order to assist me in my mission to relieve the earth of her burden. What is actually the burden of the earth? The burden of the earth is sinful reactions. So the Lord comes in order to remove that sinful atmosphere. And He creates a very, very auspicious situation by establishing dharma. In Bhagavad Gita, He described that why does He come? He comes in order to re-establish dharma. Dharma sangsthapanarthaya. Sangsthapan means to establish. When there is abhuthanam adharmasya. Dharmasya glani, dharmasya glani, and abhuthanam adharmasya. When the dharma is in decline, dharma disappears, dharma is destroyed, dharma is removed, and in place comes adharma. At that time, I come to re-establish dharma. So, he reassured Lord Brahma. Then Brahma conveyed that message to the demigods, that you take birth in Yadu and Vrishni dynasty, and the Lord will come. So, the demigods then took birth in Yadu family, Yadu dynasty. And then the Lord appeared as the Yadava Shrestha or Yadu Kuleshwar. He is the Lord of the Yadu dynasty, the best of the Yadavas. And so in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in this planet, incarnated or descended in this planet to deliver the situation, deliver the Mother Earth from her burden, her burdensome condition. So Mother Earth was rescued in another way by the Lord here. And in this verse it has been described that after rectifying the situation, Krishna became pacified. He relaxed. He had a mission. So now the mission has been accomplished. So now he is relaxed. He was pacified. Okay, I have done my duty. I have done my job. Now the earth is free from all those miscreants. Dushkritam. So what? Who are the Dushkritam? Namang Dushkriti na Mudha. Prapadante Naradhama. Mayayai Aparhita Jnana Ashuring Bhavam Ashrita. There are four kinds of miscreants, or Dushkriti na. Those who do not surrender unto the Lord. Mudhas, the fools. Those who are fools, they do not surrender to the Lord. Naradhama, those who are Naradham. Naradham, Nara means human being, and Adham means lower. The one who is who has a human body, but he is not of human consciousness. Naradham. Degraded human beings. And then the other one is Mayaya Aparhita Jnana, whose knowledge has been stolen by Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord. And Asurim Bhavam Ashritaha. Asurim bhavam. Asuri bhav means demoniac nature. Those who have a demoniac nature. What is a demoniac nature? Asura. Sura means those who are surrendered to the Lord. And asura means the opposite to that. Those who are not surrendered to the Lord. Those who are averse to the Lord. Those who are opposed to the Lord. Those who are inimical to the Lord. They are the asurim bhavam ashrita. Mayaya apurhita jnana asurim bhavam ashrita. So these are four kinds of duskritina. Namang duskritina mudha. So these are the people that had been taken care of by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport. That these four kinds of people, they're the lowest of human beings, because the human life is specially meant for re-establishing the lost relationship with the Lord. And they miss the opportunity by being engaged in material activities. They're robbed of their knowledge. Mayaya apurhita jnana. Because even after prolonged speculation, they cannot reach to the stage of knowing the personality of Godhead. And all of them are men of demoniac principle, and they suffer the consequences. So those who are demoniac, eventually they will suffer. They constantly suffer, actually. They may be illusion to think that they are enjoying, but they are actually suffering. Like we can see how demoniac this world has become today. This Kali Yuga is the age of Adharma. Actually, compared to this age, this time, those days were much better. In other ages, there were some deviation from Dharma. Some individuals deviated from Dharma. But in this age, practically everyone is averse to religious principle. We are seeing that. What is the symptom of aversion to religious principles? What is the sign of adharma? Sign of adharma is meat-eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. These are the signs of adharma. Those days, some people only indulged in this adharmic activity. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki. Jai Shri Shri Gaurnitai Ki. Those days, some individuals indulged in those activities. And then the Lord came and rectified the situation. They ruled over some time. They ruled over this planet for some time. But in this age, that has become the norm. That has become the standard. Adharma is the standard of this age. And this is going on in the name of Dharma. So this is what we can see. When these activities go on in the name of Dharma, that is Adharma. When meat eating goes on in the name of Dharma, it's Adharma. When intoxication goes on in the name of Dharma, it's Adharma. When illicit sex goes on in the name of Dharma, and when gambling goes on in the name of Dharma. So that is what is happening today. The normal standard, general standard has become to break these principles of Dharma. Sometimes, in the name of Dharma, these activities are going on. And general standard has been established. Meat-eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. Nobody thinks that these are activities that should not be performed. Parikshit Maharaj was about to kill Kali when he saw that Kali was torturing the cow. But now, meat industry is the government is promoting meat industry. Even in India, cow killing is becoming, has been authorized. Then intoxication, although there is some taboo, there is some restrictions on some intoxications, when they realize that this intoxication is bad, then they try to stop it. When they see that heavy intoxication is very, very, very hard intoxicants are damaging for the health, so then they stop that. But other kind of intoxication has become authorized. And we can see how it is happening gradually. Like in America, some time ago, even just, I don't know exactly know when it was, but alcohol was banned in America. Alcohol was banned, even in America. Alcohol was banned in even some other parts of India, some years ago, I remember. Alcohol was banned in Bombay. But now, they are authorizing it. Then other kind of intoxicants were banned. But now they're allowing it. Like I remember a few years back in Europe even, like marijuana and hashish was banned. But now they're allowing it. Opium was banned in India. But now the government authorized opium shops. With a license you can buy opium. So we are seeing that how gradually adharma is entering. And government, which is actually the who are meant to establish the law and order in the society, they are promoting this. They're sanctioning this and they're promoting this. Then illicit sex used to be banned. Now illicit sex is becoming a part of life in the human society. So gradually the human society is degrading. And as a result of that, the suffering increases. It is not that by taking intoxicants people enjoy. Taking intoxicants one suffers. It is not that by indulging in illicit sex one enjoys. Actually, by indulging in illicit sex life one suffers. So, all these are actually cause of suffering. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling are the causes of suffering. There is a saying that no one became rich in Las Vegas. No one goes to Las Vegas. I mean, people that went to Las Vegas is the biggest gambling center of the world. It's a whole city based on gambling. And the point is that so far not a single person became rich going to Las Vegas. Everyone became poor. They lost their money. They didn't gain. They didn't win. So people gamble and lose their money. Is it enjoyment? The hard-earned money, whichever way they earn, either inheritance or hard labor, lose money is a source of difficulty, source of misery. So in this way, everyone in this material nature is suffering when they indulge in these activities. The real enjoyment is to abstain from these activities. Don't eat meat, don't take intoxication, don't indulge in illicit sex and don't gamble. The result is, we can guarantee you will enjoy. If you really want to enjoy, then don't indulge in these activities. Don't eat meat. meat, fish, eggs, onion, garlic. Don't take any kind of intoxication, not even tea and coffee. And that's what Prabhupada established. Huh? Prabhupada created a situation where everybody can really enjoy. Don't indulge in illicit sex. When, what is the meaning of illicit sex? Any sexual activity outside of procreation. If only for the sake of procreation, only sex life. That is called dharma aviruddha kama. The purpose of sex life is to procreate. That's the only reason why one should indulge in sex life, not for anything else. We see in nature, even the animals don't indulge in sex life for any other reason but procreation. It is the nature's arrangement. Nature actually induces the male and female species to meet or to mate in order to increase the progeny. That is nature's arrangement. It is not that the relationship between a married couple is legitimate sex life. No, only when it is for, even among husband and wife, only when it is for procreation, that is legitimate sex. Otherwise, it is illegal sex. Illicit sex. So abstain from sex life, you will enjoy. Abstain from meat eating, you will enjoy. Abstain from gambling, you will enjoy. Abstain from intoxication, you will enjoy. That's the real enjoyment. So when one becomes situated in the path of dharma, he naturally abstains from these activities. What to speak of? Path of dharma. In a civilized human society, one was naturally meant to observe these principles. In India, this was the understanding. Like, civilized people in India didn't eat non-vegetarian food. Especially the high-class people, still today, the high-class people, civilized people in North India, they don't indulge in non-vegetarian food. But you know, but due to the influence of Kali, it is happening. People are, in the name of, they think that it's becoming civilized by following the West. Whatever West does, whatever they do in America, we should do that. In America, they eat meat, so let us also eat meat. In America, they go to McDonald's. Let's go to now they open McDonald's in India, so let's go to McDonald's. But I heard that McDonald's is having difficult time in some parts of India because people don't take non-vegetarian food. Therefore, McDonald's is thinking of serving dosas, idlis and dosa. Because they find that idlis and dosas are more popular than hamburger. So, but in this evil influence is being promoted in India gradually. And ISKCON is there to fight. Mahaprabhu's mission that Srila Prabhupada has established is meant to fight this evil influence of adharma and establish dharma. That's why ISKCON is promoting no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. And the more and more people will take to these principles, will understand that dharma is being established. Of course, these principles will be established how? Only by developing Krishna consciousness. First, Krishna consciousness. These are the side effects. When we accept Krishna, then only we will be able to fight against the influence of adharma, not otherwise. It is not that just by abstaining from intoxication and illicit sex and gambling and meat eating, we will become situated on the path of dharma. These are the symptoms. Just dealing with the symptoms is not enough. We have to deal with the root. And what is the root? The root is Krishna consciousness. You deviate from Krishna consciousness, you become defiant to Krishna, you do not surrender to Krishna, you will become a victim of adharma. But you surrender to Krishna, all these will automatically happen. Like we can consider, we did not join ISKCON to follow the principles. Right? We didn't join ISKCON just to follow the principles. We joined ISKCON because we wanted to surrender to Krishna. But these four principles, although at one time it may have been difficult to give up, especially for the Bengalis. For the Bengalis to give up fish is the biggest thing in the most difficult thing in the world. But even the Bengalis can give up fish eating. I mean, if the Bengalis can give up eating fish, then anyone can do anything. So we are seeing, by taking to Krishna consciousness, we can so easily become situated on the path of dharma. And when one practices Krishna consciousness, then following the principles become easy. Does it matter nowadays anymore? Although we may have so many bad habits, we don't worry about them at all. So, this is how powerful Krishna consciousness is. And it is a very simple process. What is the process? The process is getting the higher taste. It's a natural way of development is to develop the higher taste. When you develop higher taste, lower taste will automatically give up. So in Krishna consciousness, you get the higher taste. When you get the higher taste, then you automatically give up the lower taste. Prabhupada once gave an example. A child eats mud, dirt. A child often takes up dirt, mud, and eats the mud. But when the mother gives the child sweet, then getting the taste of the sweet, the child doesn't eat the mud anymore. Similarly, we may be attracted to some activities which are not beneficial for ourselves, but when you get the higher taste, which is really beneficial and which is really tasty, then we very easily give up the lower taste. We are seeing that in this age, practically most of the people are non-vegetarian. But after they join Krishna consciousness, they get the taste of Krishna prasad. And then they lose the taste for meat eating. So in this way, just by getting the higher taste, one can very easily give up these sinful propensities of eating meat, taking intoxications, indulging in illicit sex, and gambling. So when one becomes a devotee of Krishna, then Krishna gives him the protection in all respects. He's saying, Paritranaya sadhunam. Who are the sadhus? Sadhus are the people, those who have taken shelter of Krishna. Mahatmanas tu mang partha, daiving prakritim ashritaha. Mahatma, or the sadhu, or sant, is a person who has taken shelter of Krishna's divine energy, daiving prakriti, divine nature. What is the divine nature? The divine nature is devotional service, surrender to Krishna. When one surrenders to Krishna, when one surrenders unto Krishna, then immediately he comes under Krishna's divine energy. And the divine energy gives all the protection. Daiving prakriti mashrita. And then he becomes situated, then he becomes a Mahatma. Mahatma means Mahatma, great soul. Who is a great soul? Who has surrendered unto Krishna. Who has taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So in this way, it has been pointed out that how Krishna personally takes care of his devotees. Now the question may arise, then how Krishna, when will Krishna come? Kali Yuga, we are describing, we are seeing how Kali Yuga has become the place of Adharma. Now when will Krishna come? The answer is Krishna has already come. This is the age of Adharma, so Adharma will become prevalent naturally. But Krishna in this age comes in a very special way. And what is that special appearance of Krishna? Krishna appears in a way that he continues to stay here. Other ages, Krishna comes, rectifies the situation and goes away. Withdraws his pastimes. But in this age of Kali, Krishna will not do that. In this age of Kali, Krishna continues to stay. Because this is the age of Adharma. So these two special appearances of Krishna is, one is as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna came as a devotee. And in order to continue his presence in this planet, he gave the holy name. And this holy name is the incarnation of Krishna in the age of Kali. Kali Kale Naam Rupe Krishna Avatar. In the age of Kali, Krishna appears in the name of, in his holy name, as his holy name. So when we take shelter of Krishna's holy name, we are under Krishna's care, under Krishna's protection. Kali Kale Naam Rupe Krishna Avatar. So what we have to do, we have to actually have the faith that the holy name is Krishna. The more we develop the faith that holy name is Krishna, the more we will derive the mercy of Krishna. And this holy name will save us from all difficulties. Actually, Mahaprabhu's appearance is very special in this age. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at a time when whole of India was under the Muslim domination. So, to be under Muslim domination actually meant that the whole of India was in a very, very difficult situation because they were directly against the Vedic culture. The Muslims were directly against the Vedic culture. So in this way we can see also what is the adharma in the age of Kali. This is another form of adharma in the age of Kali. Dharma that is appears to be dharma but actually opposed to dharma. We are not against any religion as such, but to call a spade a spade is necessary. We have to recognize we are not against anybody as such, but we can see that what is the rule. What is their symptom? What is their appearance like? The Vedic culture is synonymous to dharma. And when somebody tries to destroy the Vedic culture, acts against the Vedic culture, we can see that that is adharma. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared at a time when whole of India was under the Muslim domination. But why did Mahaprabhu appear at a time like that? Mahaprabhu appeared at a time like that to create that confidence in us that don't worry, take shelter of the holy name and everything will be all right. And we have seen, like Chand Kazi tried to stop the Sankirtan. What happened? Did he succeed? No. Just by taking shelter of the holy name, they were saved. Chand Kazi became a devotee. So the point is that somebody may be following adharma, but when he takes to Krishna consciousness, he will become situated in the path of dharma. In ISKCON, there are so many Muslim devotees. They were born in a Muslim family, but they have accepted Krishna consciousness. And they become devotees of Krishna. In Mahaprabhu's time also, Chand Kazi became a devotee. He was the magistrate of Navadvip, the most powerful person over there. But he became a devotee. Then when Mahaprabhu was traveling to Vrindavan, from Vrindavan back, he converted these Pathan Vaishnavas in North India. They must be somewhere near UP. The Pathans, Pathans are the Muslims from Afghanistan. They came across Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the whole village became devotees of Krishna. In this way, there are many Muslims who became devotees of Krishna. Actually, if we look at it, then it is a bona fide religion. They are speaking of Allah. Allah is God. They are not worshipping demon or anything. They are worshipping God. But the way it has been established, it is, especially when it acts against the Vedic culture. But in essence, it is a bona fide religion. Prabhupada pointed out that Islamism is a bona fide religion. It is also part of Krishna consciousness. Because who is Allah? Allah is God. And in our Bhagavad Gita, when it was translated in Arabic, they asked how should we translate Bhagavan Ubacha. And Prabhupada said, right, as Allah said. Yes, there is no difference. Allah is Krishna. We have an understanding that Allah is Krishna, but the problem is when they say that Allah is someone else, as Krishna is against Allah, then the trouble starts. What Muhammad established is a bona fide religion, but the way it is being practiced today, that is unbona fide. We have to understand that Muhammad had to give it in a certain way, because of the time, place and circumstances and the people. Muhammad was not teaching in a civilized world. Muhammad was teaching the people in the middle of the desert. They're barbaric people. There was no food to eat. There was no water to drink. They were nomads. They were just wandering around in the desert. And they're fighting like vicious animals with each other. But so Muhammad came and they were also practicing all kinds of who knows what, voodoos and black magic and all kinds of stuff they were practicing. Therefore he said, stop all this nonsense and just surrender to Allah. He is the only one. Yes, he is the only one. But the problem is, he is establishing that he is the only one. And when they come to the real one and they say that that is not the bona fide one, then the trouble starts. That the, who is the only one? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only one. But they say Allah is the only one. But who is Allah? They don't have any information. And that's the problem. Who is Allah? No information. Don't think of Him. That's what the Quran is saying. Don't think of Him. You don't think of His form, don't think of Him at all. So, okay, fine. Allah, Allahu Akbar. But no information. Who is Allah? Then when the information comes about the real Allah, they say, no, no, we are not supposed to accept Him. And these are kafirs, those who are following Him. And the trouble starts. It's like the primary school have to be promoted to secondary school or high school. If they don't come to the high school, they think the primary school education is the only one. And they say, whoa, high school is no education. So then the trouble starts. And these are the problems that the world is facing today. We have to understand that we have to come to the ultimate knowledge, ultimate understanding. And that is being provided. And another trouble that starts is that they say that you can't read any other scripture. You can't accept any other scripture but Quran. Okay, what to do? Like primary school syllabus is the only syllabus. You can't read anything else. Then how will you become promoted? How will a student become promoted to high school, college, university? So we have to, we have to preach. We have to make everybody understand. Preach. We don't have any problem accepting Allah because we know that Allah is actually Krishna. We don't have any difficulty saying Allahu Akbar. But they have difficulties saying Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So this way we can see who are actually facing the difficulties. So it's a difficult task anyway, for the point that I was trying to make, that appearing at a time when India was completely under the Muslim domination. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually came at a time like that to make us understand that doesn't matter how difficult the situation is, take shelter of the holy name and you will get all the protection. Take shelter of the holy name and don't worry about anything. Krishna will protect. Krishna is there. Ito nishingha parato nishingha. Yato jato yami tato nishingha. Bohir nishingha hridaye nishingha. The fierce form of the Lord is Nrisimhadev. And He is there to protect the devotees. Try to torture the devotees, try to trouble the devotees. No one is as fierce as Nrisimhadev. When somebody tries to torture the devotees or trouble the devotees, the Lord's most fierce form is actually Nrisimhadev. Just tear those demons apart. So, and this Nrisimhadev is there, everywhere. He's in our heart. He is outside also. Everywhere He is there. So why should you worry? Let's take shelter of the holy name, and if somebody tries to do something to us, Jai Nrisimhadev. He will be there to give all the protection. Didn't He protect Prahlad Maharaj? So what does it mean? Did Krishna speak Bhagavad Gita only for Arjun? Or Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita for all his devotees, whoever will surrender unto him. So did Nrisingadev appear just for Prahlad Maharaj? No. He appeared for all his devotees to give the confidence that don't worry, I am there, and let's see who tries to trouble you. Nrisingadev has his Tavakara Kamala Bare Nakham Adbhuta Shringam. And Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanu Bhringam. Hiranyakashipu's body was so powerful, so strong, that even thunderbolt couldn't do anything. His body was, it was like nothing, no one, nothing could do anything to him. His body was so strong. Can you imagine? Thunder can break the mountains. But that thunder couldn't do anything to Hiranyakashipu. Such powerful body. But to Nrisingadev, it was like a wasp. His body was like a wasp. Wasp's body. You know what is a wasp? 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 Like a bee. Like a bee's body, is it? How soft is bee's body? So soft. With a nail you can just tear open. And that's what he did. Tanu Bhringam. As if it was the body of a bee. Easily he just tore it apart. So demons, no matter how powerful they are nobody in front of the Lord and his protective energy. So our business is just to take shelter of the holy name. Recognize that in Kali Kale Naam Rupe Krishna Avatar, Krishna has appeared in the age of Kali in the form of his holy name. He is here. He is here. We can constantly take shelter of him. And he will give us all the protection. Gaur Premanande Hari Haribo. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yeah. Surrender and you'll get the mercy. Mercy is relative to surrender. The more surrendered you are, more mercy you will get. Je jatha maang prapadante, taang stathaiva bhajammaham. As one surrenders unto me, accordingly I will reciprocate. Okay, Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.